Extra, extra. Hot off the presses. It's Scoop Ed Longwa with the Catholic Sentinel.
And it is nice to welcome to the Matre Dei Radio airwaves the managing editor of the Catholic Sentinel newspaper, Ed Longwa. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, everyone.
So will you be a guy that'll get out there and ride your bike in the 100-degree weather?
I think it's time to switch to a kayak, David, and I'm just about a good enough kayaker to fall in once in a while.
Hey, there you go. Well, that'll keep you cool.
Right.
Hey, you know, we're going to talk about a couple of parishes here in just a couple of minutes that are doing a restoration and a centennial. But before we did that, I wanted to mention this because I know you're a big baseball fan, and I've always been a big Los Angeles Dodgers fan. And I wanted to mention the passing of Vin Scully. I mean, what a legend. Obviously, he passed away a couple of days ago at the age of 94. But I know you must have been a fan.
What a gentleman of sports and of baseball. You wonder, a lot of announcers put their foot in their mouths at least once during their careers, but this fellow, in, I don't know, 50 or 60 years, I don't remember any big mistake he made on the air. I think just what a great soul, what a great spirit. And of course, he got interviewed in a several times about his Catholicism, and he was right up front about it, what a foundation it was for his life.
You know, it was interesting. I was listening to a podcast a couple of nights ago after he passed away, and he was telling the story of when he went to a Catholic grade school, and the nuns asked the students, as you see this exercise quite often, about what they'd like to be when they grow up. And amazingly, as many of the boys were saying, they wanted to be firemen or firefighters. He said he wanted to be a sports broadcaster. How about that?
Well, a man who found his dream and achieved it, that's real, something to admire.
Very much so. God bless Vince Scully and the legacy he left in sports broadcasting. Well, you have a great story in the Sentinel about, we'll first talk about St. Patrick's Church in Northwest Portland. They're going to be going through a restoration project, a fundraiser here, to try to raise some funds to refurbish the church. And I love St. Patrick's Church, and I know you do as well. It's really one of the iconic churches in Portland.
I love it for a lot of reasons, David. It was, our newspaper was founded by Irish migrants in 1870, and I imagine St. Patrick was their proud home, built in 1889, there in Slabtown with this cupola rising up above the street. It's just something you can see for many miles, especially now with the Fremont Bridge there.
Right.
You can almost reach out and touch it if you take certain flyways off the Fremont Bridge. It must be the most seen church in Portland is all I can think. And I love the interior, but I'm amazed at what they hope to achieve there inside. I hope your listeners will look at the front page of the next Catholic Sentinel. It has an old photo of the inside of St. Patrick, but it's colorized to show what Father Tim Furlow and the rest of parishioners hope to achieve there.
Ooh, that I will look forward to that. I would love to see that. And you hit the nail on the head. I love that view coming over the Fremont Bridge when you can look down and see St. Patrick's right there. And you did a story a while back about some of the domes in the area, and that was one that you pointed out, the dome at St. Patrick's.
One of my favorite domes. David, one of my most memorable moments as a Sentinel reporter was the day that Ron Simonis, who used to be the business manager at St. Patrick, allowed me to climb up into that dome. And it takes a little doing. There's some old rickety wooden ladders you have to go up, and there are bird skeletons and all kinds of things you have to crawl by
right.
Until you get up in this beautiful dome. And there was a chair and a kneeler where the priest in those days used to go up there and pray and meditate.
Wow.
Really a remarkable moment for me.
You know, and some of the work they're going to do here, this is what fascinates me, because I've seen this occur. I believe I saw it at St. Michael's Church in downtown Portland, another iconic older church in Portland, as well as the cathedral, too, when they redo some of the frescoes on the wall or some of the paintings. And it's just amazing, the transformation. They can look kind of dingy, kind of smoky, and when they redo those, it is beautiful, the way they pop right back out.
I think you'll see this happen at St. Patrick if this project gets the funding it's needed. These are some probably even a little more than a century old murals painted there. The Transfiguration, a great many Irish saints, of course, St. Bridget, St. Patrick, St. Malachy will really come to life. I'm also interested, it looks like they're going to redo the columns and kind of paint them to look like marble, which they originally were painted to look like. And it's going to be a beautiful green kind of marble look. Of course, the whole point isn't just prettiness, is it, David? Father Tim Frillo explains that the whole idea is to make it easier for people to worship God.
Right.
John Sarnecki is a St. Patrick parishioner, kind of a famous historic architect in Portland. And he said the beauty is there to support the liturgy, to support the prayer. So it's not just beautification. It's a spiritual exercise that the people of St. Patrick are trying to work out.
Well, and I've always loved so much of our Catholic faith is linked to art. And to see that in the church, again, I think, as you said, it just boosts our faith. So really looking forward to that. And hopefully the project goes well, the fundraising goes well, and they can make it happen. Because, again, it's a beautiful church. And if you've never been to St. Patrick's in Northwest Portland, definitely pay it a visit because it's one of the great ones. Before we run out of time, I wanted to mention St. Joseph's Church in Cloverdale. And the reason this one kind of strikes me is because I've driven through Cloverdale many times on the way to Pacific City, and I know that the church is there. I've never stopped, never been into it, but they're celebrating a centennial, and I just think it's wonderful, this little town of Cloverdale.
That's right. August 13th, they're going to have a mass with Archbishop Sample to celebrate 100 years of this little iconic church. You do as you drive down Highway 101, that tall white steeple sticks up into the air. It's the most prominent thing in little Cloverdale there in the you know, between Tillamook and Lincoln City. And it's an amazing little place built by dairy farmers 100 years ago. They sold a hog
wow.
to start gathering money to build this church. And seminarians and dairy farmers helped build the place 100 years ago. A lot of pride there.
Well, and you love it when you get out of the bigger cities and you get into the smaller towns and to see the little churches. And again, there's always such a great little story, great history about them. And that's what I love.
I do, too. One of the things I like about this story is the Father Hildebrand Melchior, the Benedictine who first started visiting Cloverdale, his father was an architect. And Father Hildebrand hired his father to design this church, and they really like tall steeples. So they put a rather tall, this might be one of the tallest steeples you'll see in a little country church anywhere. And so it really beckons people there on the coast.
That's great. Well, again, have you had a chance to go on CatholicSentinel.org and check out these wonderful stories that Ed and his writers have done about our parishes, churches, and the community, please do. They're great stories, great history. Ed, thanks for following up on those and sharing those because they're just great, great articles.
We think parishes are the backbone of our life as Catholics, David, so we're happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful weekend.
Happy trails, everyone.